This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Hey, everyone, and welcome. This is Felice Gerwitz with an episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms. And I have been on this kick of looking for really good family films for my family, as well as my grandkids. And so I've done a couple of podcasts and I'm working on some blog posts on this topic. And we have a very special guest today that has done a wonderful job with putting together some lists. And today my guest is Lisa Winton. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you, Felice. It's great to be here.
Well, I'm happy to have you and introduce you to our audience. And I want to first thank our sponsors. And I am so excited because our sponsorships allow us to bring you podcasts like this one for free. And you can also find the show notes for today's episode at vintagehomeschoolmoms.com. And today's topic is the top 30 films for families. So, Lisa, tell us a little bit about you and your family. You are a longtime homeschooler, which is exciting for me because I always love to bring homeschoolers on so others can get some inspiration from what you are doing with your family.
Well, thank you. Yes, I've been homeschooling for 16 years. Coming on my 30th anniversary with my husband, Randy, we have four kids ranging from 10 years old to almost 26, two adults, and two still at home being homeschooled. And when my older two were growing up in our home, we were always looking for family-friendly films or things that really promoted the values that we held to or that were inspirational, overcoming stories, things that were really great. And so over the years, back in VHS time, we would check out old movies and watch them on the weekends. And so over time, I wanted to be able to share those with other people because so many hadn't heard of some of our favorites. So I started a Facebook page called Inspire, Rediscovering Classic Family Films. And I post on there lesser known titles that families can enjoy together.
That's great. And we'll have that link in the show notes as well. And yay about upcoming 30 years of marriage. We're actually approaching closer to 40 at some point.
Wow. Congratulations.
We're at 39 this year, but we're inching closer. So we can't be that old to be married that long, is what I always, that's my claim with my husband.
It doesn't feel that way. I know.
Right. Oh, gosh. And so, you know, it's great. And I also know that you have children who have been on the autism spectrum. Why don't you share just a little bit about that? Because you've done a lot of research in that area just to help your own family.
I have. My third child is a girl, and she's adopted. And we found out when she was about 4 and a half, and she had some health issues when we got her as an infant. But as she came into toddlerhood and was struggling, not speaking yet, having a lot of sensory issues. She was diagnosed around 4 and a half with autism. And so over the years, I've really invested a lot of time and energy into educating myself through books and blogs and, you know, anything I could get my hands on to help grow her into the best and most functioning possible outcome for her. And we've had a lot of successes over the years. Just in this last year, she's really made progress in reading and in her ability to be involved in outside activities. We've used a lot of natural approaches with success. And we as her family are proud of how far she's come and how brave she is. And even her medical providers are really amazed at how far she's come from when she was 4 and a half and first diagnosed.
Wonderful. And I loved that you said that one of the ways you found our network was from listening to Homeopathy for Mommies, which is a podcast on the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. So that was
gotten to listen to that in this last year. So that's really exciting.
Wonderful. Yeah, wonderful. Okay, so we're going to talk about some different things, obviously getting to your list of movies, which again is going to be in the show notes, but also talking about a little bit about how you got to that point. And I think this is really helpful for people who are looking for, you know, looking at making their own list. Because we have, you know, I have a list of books that I keep in my home library, and a lot of people build libraries and things like that. And we always had a movie collection back in the years of the VHS movie. One of the reasons is I lived out in an area that didn't have cable. And I didn't miss it at all because I am a TV-aholic and grew up loving television. So for me, it was not a good thing to have in the house. But I'm also a bookaholic. So it's
right,
like whenever,
right.
whatever, yeah. I will, you know, and it, actually movies were not something I just didn't want to sit that long and watch them. But my husband loved movies. And so that was one of the things we did together. And when the kids were little, we just started collecting our movie library. And like I said, just recently I had to get rid of all those because we no longer have players, and it was a very sad day. We, you know, managed to collect the DVDs that we can as time progresses. But you have a specific, list that you look for. But before we get into that, let's talk about, like you asked me if I had heard about the Hays Code,
right.
And I had not. You know, some of what I read on their explanation of it was, you know, probably not politically correct in this day and age. But just give us a little bit of, like, what that guideline is.
Well, the Hays Code was instituted in 1934, and it was more a self-imposed restriction on Hollywood film producers from within, because there was a public outcry and outrage against kind of the immorality, the suggestiveness, even nudity in early filmmaking. And different cities and religious institutions were calling for changes in Hollywood. Well, Hollywood doesn't like to be restricted. And so rather than face the possibility of legislative censorship from the government, they instituted their own code so that they could monitor it themselves. Mm-hmm. That was really in force for about 40 years, and mostly during the golden age of Hollywood. The Hays Code really included that no picture should ever lower the moral standards of those who see it, and that the sympathy of the audience should not be thrown to the side of crime, wrongdoing, evil, or sin. What that did was it helped produce during the golden age of Hollywood some really fantastic family films that a lot of times don't get as much attention anymore because we have such a proliferation coming out from Hollywood year after year. But they are films that I think have so much value that families should not miss them. They really are mm-hmm. inspiring and have so much truth, beauty, and goodness in them that I hope to expose other people to some of these older films.
Very good. And so along those lines, what is it that you look for in movies?
Well, we really look for a strong moving story that has high production value. I think it's really important that it be well done. I mean, I think we want to be entertained, and I'm not entertained by lower production types of things. So that's a really strong one. And there is not a lack of those in the golden age of Hollywood. A lot of the ones that I have highlighted received Academy Awards and were nominated because they were just really thoroughly well done. Inspiring themes is the next one. We really want to see that when we're done watching a film, we're inspired towards doing good, towards being better, towards persevering through difficulties, towards overcoming evil with good. So that's a really important one for us. I really like watching historical or biographical narratives that show us what it was like during a different time period and what it was like to live through that time period, to experience what people in other eras lived through and how they overcame those different challenges in their time period. So we also, most importantly, want things that line up with our family's values and we don't want to expose our kids or ourselves to things that even, you know, even the Hays Code, which is a secular code, we don't want things that are going to lower the moral standards of our family or encourage us towards things that aren't good and right and true and beautiful. So those are kind of our basic guidelines.
Yeah, I remember at one point my husband and I had watched a movie when the kids were in bed, and he and I both looked at each other and were like, okay, because it was highly recommended, and we said, that's it. We're not going to watch movies that we can't watch with our kids. And at that point, they were like younger teens. So that's pretty limiting. But it was
just like, you know,
when you're sitting there having to fast forward, you know, scenes and things like that, I just can't handle that. So
no, I agree.
You know, it's just, it's time to move on. So, and my kids now like more of the, what I call it, you know, they are funny, but they're violent, you know, with some of the shoot 'em up kinds of things. And, you know, they're older, you know, 20, almost 23, almost 18, and a 20-year-old. So it's kind of hard to say, you know, we only want to watch this. So sometimes, you know, and they're still clean. They're not, you know, yes, people are, you know, from other worlds blowing things up like the Marvel series, you know, things like that. So as long as there's not any, you know, sexual scenes or, you know, profanity or things like that, you know, where we have bent our rules, but not when they were younger. And so that's one of the things, like, I love your list, and I'm really excited because we've seen a lot of these as a family and own some of these, especially, and some of them I've never heard of, so I'm doubly excited.
Well, you're in for a treat. You're in for a treat. You have to go find them.
Yay. Okay, so we're going to take a really quick commercial break here, and when we come back, we are going to actually discuss some of these films. We're not going to go into all of them, Lisa, because we probably don't have enough time, but I want you to pick out, you know, especially the ones that you've starred that, you know, maybe some of these I would say I've heard of, but some I haven't. So let's go with, you know, maybe some of the ones that people have not heard of, and we can start discussing those, but we'll be right back.
This May, Family Life will be kicking off a new movement of intentional parenting, and it starts in a theater near you. Family Life's first feature film, Like Arrows, explores the joys and heartaches of parenting with a story that spans over 50 years. Join us in theaters across America for a special two-night showing of Like Arrows, followed by exclusive after-show content with filmmakers, including celebrated faith-based filmmakers Alex and Stephen Kendrick, as well as Family Life Today's Dennis and Barbara Rainey and Bob Lapine. You'll leave encouraged and equipped with powerful next steps to make Christ the center of your parenting. Like Arrows will be in theaters for two nights only, May 1st and 3rd. To view the trailer and find theater info, visit likearrowsmovie.com. That's likearrowsmovie.com.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back. This is Felice Gerwitz with my special friend, Lisa Winton, who I just met a few minutes ago, but is a kindred spirit because she has a lot of the same values that I do, especially when it comes to watching films. And as a treat to all of you, she has not only a wonderful Facebook that I really encourage you to check out. It's the Inspire Rediscovering Classic Family Films, and we'll have that link on VintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Look for the episode Top 30 Films for Families. And this list is brought to you by Lisa, and I'm sure her husband has helped her and her kids, you know, with Yay, Mom, this is a great one, or, you know, please leave this one out. And so, and then let's go through some of those, and then we're going to discuss a little bit about ratings and underlying themes. And we can probably talk a little bit to that as these films come out, because I know one of your show notes, you know, talked about like older Shirley Temple films are rated PG.
That is correct.
Yeah. So speak to that before we get to the list.
Well, after the Hays Code ended, that is when Hollywood decided to put more of a ratings on their films. They were stopping really self-censoring because, unfortunately, there wasn't a public outcry anymore. The public was kind of eating up some of the things that they were pushing, pushing the margins on. So they decided to put codes so people would be a little bit more aware of what they were walking into. But Hollywood's ratings aren't necessarily something that I consider infallible by any stretch of the imagination. We have a lot of movies that are PG or PG-13 that I think are of far more value or worth to view than a lot of movies that are coming out right now that are rated G. And some of that just has to do with the content. I would rather have a really wonderful story that has fabulous values, though it may deal with harder themes like war or something, and so it may have a PG or a PG-13 rating, where I don't really want to see someone running around with, you know, just some of the silly rated G movies that are coming out in Hollywood. I just don't waste my time on those personally.
Right. And so that's something to consider as well. And as I always, you know, encourage all of you who are listening, I mean, it doesn't matter what we say or think. You need to obviously make your own decisions with your family and what fits for you. Many times my husband and I had to sit through sappy kids movies to make sure that they were okay before we allowed our kids to watch them. And, you know, it sometimes is like, oh, gosh, you know, what we do for our kids and they don't appreciate
us.
But it was good because, you know, later we could discuss different things. And, you know, like there were some old movies like Snowball Express, which is kind of slapsticky, or The Apple Dumpling Gang, which was, you know, again, you know, who doesn't love Tim Conway? He was my dad, one of my dad's favorites. And so my dad's the one who introduced my kids to that movie and sat there and laughed as hysterically as they did watching
it. And we have two same ones. And those are fun titles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, at these, I think that you put on your list are a little bit more thinking titles. So without further ado, let's jump in. Which one do you want to start with?
I would love to start with Night Crossing, which was a more recent Disney film, and it was the story of a 1979 escape from communist East Germany to the West. And it is two families who secretly build a hot air balloon in their attic. And it's a phenomenal story of courage and triumph and what families will do to protect their loved ones and to gain freedom. Just very terrific story.
Very good.
And then, yeah, that's such a great one. There are several, you'll notice that on this list, there are a lot of films that probably are war films, but that's because we really like true stories that have just really strong themes and inspiring messages in them. Both my adult sons, when I asked them their opinion, they said, don't miss The Great Escape. The Great Escape is a really well-done war film, but I would recommend it for older high school because it deals with prisoners of war being in Nazi prison camps. But the human spirit and triumph of attempting to just continue to have their spirits up and to give them something to work towards and to go on living for is really phenomenal. It's just a very well done movie. A little bit more, recent. So I think in the 60s. A lot of these films are from the 30s and 40s. That's probably my favorite era, but this one was well done. The Fighting Sullivans and The Long Gray Line also are true stories based in different war eras. The Fighting Sullivans was what Saving Private Ryan was based on this true story of these brothers that were together in the war and that they were killed. And there was actually a code made later on about siblings not being allowed to be on the same combat teams or ships because of that. But it's just a family story that is wonderful about how they are unified and how they love and protect one another. And The Long Gray Line highlights a West Point, a beloved professor through just different eras and how he loves and inspires those men at West Point. So those are some of the first ones that I really love.
One that you had here was Sergeant York, and we had never seen that film, and a friend that was over visiting introduced us to that, and the kids really, really enjoyed it. So it's amazing when there are, you know, like I've never heard of, I've heard of The Great Escape, but not The Fighting Sullivans or The Long Gray Line. So it's, again, you know, movies that you might think, well, you know, I like the, let's not have to think too hard sometimes because, you know, my husband and I both work very hard, so we want to relax and not be so stressed, you know, in the storyline. But some of these are so worth it because they're such a wonderful outcome. And, you know, I want to give a shout out to a media company that we're working with, and that's Collide Media, who has brought to our attention some wonderful films and past sponsors like the film The Ice Dragon, like Arrows, and I'm just previewing the movie The Miracle Story. So I'm really, really excited that we are bringing to our audiences some of the more recent films that are well done and have thought-provoking family content, you know, that are, you know, like Ice Dragons is obviously, it's an animation for kids, but the other two are films, you know, for either families or like Miracle Story is about a girl's sports team. So, yeah, so it's, you know, one of those things that it makes me happy that some of the maybe these lesser known film companies are coming out, but that they're working hard. So as Christians, I want to be able to support them and let our listeners know. So on this list, I see one that was a couple that were my dad's favorites, and that was Ben-Hur, Chariots of Fire. He loved that one, and The Agony and the Ecstasy.
Those are all wonderful films. Charlton Heston is so good in Ben-Hur and The Agony and the Ecstasy. And I only recently watched The Agony and the Ecstasy, and it's the story of Michelangelo painting the Sistine Chapel. And it's a wonderful story, very well done, very, very uplifting and encouraging. Now, if you're sensitive to nudity in art, they do show some of the paintings of the Sistine Chapel, so you'll want to be aware of that. But really phenomenal story. And I'll say, Sergeant York, we love it, but we don't hear this in history very often. You know, I never had heard of him until I watched the movie, but he was the most decorated American soldier of World War I. And his conversion story is very clearly portrayed in that film, which is just wonderful.
Yeah, it was. So
A Man Called Peter is another phenomenal movie, just a real favorite of our family. And it's the story of Peter Marshall, who was the chaplain to the U.S. Senate, and just kind of his whole life from little boy up until his death. And that one is also so worth seeing.
As you're talking, you know, the homeschool mom in me is going, and I'm thinking, you know, if you just do a little bit of research, you can figure out what errors these are in. And this would be great for any history curriculum that you are pulling from, because sometimes we're studying and stuff becomes dry, and to be able to pull some of these movies out and say, you know, this is from the specific era, and it kind of gives you a taste of what was happening at the time and more of a, you know, like you are there kind of a tone. So, and especially you know, a lot of these are, you know, true life types of things. So, yeah, Boys Town is a favorite of mine. I think we had Boys Town 1 and Boys Town 2.
Yes, that is a really good one. And several of these actually have Spencer Tracy. Captain's Courageous is another fabulous movie, and Spencer Tracy stars in that one also. And that is really a strongly redemptive story about a spoiled young rich boy, and he accidentally, through his disobedience, falls off the yacht he's traveling on and is picked up by a sea captain and has to live in humble means, and he learns so many good lessons through that. And that's based, of course, on the book, but really well done. And speaking of kind of infusing life into different subjects, Miracle of the White Stallions was done by Disney, and it's a World War II era film, a true story of how they saved the white Lipizzaner stallions from being captured by communists. And how they were protecting their art treasures, and they considered that a strong art treasure over in Europe, and so they did what they could to save them, and they were successful, and it's just a really well-done story also.
Great. Now, I remember Mama. I've never heard of that one at all.
I remember Mama. I love it. It's based on a book, Mama's Bank Account, but it's the story of Norwegian immigrants who have moved to San Francisco at the turn of the century. And it's just really a sweet picture of kind of their life and the hardships and the just the ups and the downs of coming here. But it's just really sweet and well done. We just love it. It's one of our top favorites for sure.
So some of the movies, you know, even animations, place some subtle hints of gender issues or, you know, things that parents find objectionable. And I know that I asked you that question, you know, and I'd like you to share what you told me with our audience.
Yes, we look at that on a case-by-case basis. There was a newer film released in the last year or two where there was a big flap about some things being included that people were unhappy about. And I'm not thrilled about those types of elements either. But we watched the film personally, and we felt like it was that the other themes in the film were so far outweighed the little blip that went over my kids' heads that that would be throwing the baby out with the bathwater to miss that film. So there were inspiring themes of redemption, of transformation, of overcoming evil with good, strong family loyalties and relationships in that movie. So that the one or two little scenes, we didn't feel like that X that one out for our family. But like I said, we will take that on a case-by-case basis and make that determination for ourselves, as should every family. So,
right.
But just
great.
Because there's a big flap for, you know, about something in a film, sometimes a bigger deal is made than actuality. So, you know, you may want to watch for yourself and see. I know there was some big uproar over some certain things in Frozen. We watched it and had someone not pointed out what they thought it was displaying, we wouldn't have even noticed it as adults. So we didn't feel like that was an Xing out for us of that one either.
And I think it depends on the kids too. I'll never forget that movie. I have two little granddaughters and there's nothing frozen in their house, only because grandma bought the movie thinking, oh, this will be great. Mommy's having a baby. You know, you're all coming to my house while I babysit all however many were at the time, let's say five. My daughter has
sure,
seven. I kind of lose count which baby it was and when the movie came out, but I believe it was around then. And the oldest identified with the character that froze people because she's the oldest and has a younger sister who's, you know, and Emma's a stronger personality and Sammy's, you know, sweet and mommy will say do something and Sammy runs and Emma's like, yeah, let her do it. You know,
right. It
just, you know, it's a great fit for them and Emma doesn't and Sammy doesn't mind. And, you know, it's like one of those. So she identified so much with that character that it made her so sad she threw the film away. And I just, you know, to this day, you know, at first I was upset because I knew what I paid for it. Because I never buy anything new like that because I'm just like, oh, my gosh, we just threw away, you know. But later when I sat and talked to her, especially after my daughter said, you know, you're making her feel bad, and I sat with Emma and said, what didn't you like about it? Because the music was beautiful. And she goes, I just felt so sad because what if I did something like that to Sammy? You know, and it was just like, you know, great. So, you know, we don't throw away a movie. We could have given it to someone else who may have appreciated it, but I understand that. So with kids, they're so sensitive. And I remember my youngest being very, very sensitive. We were watching, what's the movie? It was a Disney where the whole family is going somewhere and they end up in the island where they...
Swiss Family Robinson.
Yeah, Swiss Family Robinson. Thank you. And I remember,
because
my kids would always say, what is it about? And Michael was adamant, and I think he was all of five, that he was not watching it and it was going to be sad and they were shipwrecked, you know, all he couldn't get past the shipwreck. And then later I said, well, let's just start watching it. And if you don't like it, you know, you can go to your room and play or do whatever you want. So he loved that movie, you know, absolutely loved it by the end. But sometimes we have to let our kids, and especially if they haven't seen a lot of, you know, crazy things that are out there. Like, I didn't let my kids be exposed to, well, we didn't, I shared with you before we went live, we live in an area that didn't even have cable the first 7 years we lived here. So our movie library was hand-picked, and it wasn't a lot of the explosive animation, which is one of the reasons I liked the film Ice Dragon, because you didn't get overwhelmed by the animation. You could get into the story. So, again, you know, important for us when we think about our families, and, you know, we're homeschool moms, and sometimes it's nice to think we can put them, you know, in front of a movie and have 2 minutes to actually check emails or do something else. But I would really recommend that you sit and watch the movie with your kids at least the first time through, so that, you know, you can pick up on these nuances, which even Grandma missed, you know, with Emma. So, you know, again, important.
I definitely think we want to pay attention to individual consciences, too. I know my daughter with autism is far more sensitive to sad scenes in film. She does not like a lot of sorrow. She feels it far too deeply. So we have to be really careful, and even some of our films that are our family favorites, she may not want to watch them, and so she can, sometimes they'll have a little sister date in another room to watch a movie while my husband and I watch something that is a little too sad for her, or we skip some of those parts so that we definitely don't want to cause, you know, upset by something. And so I think everyone, we do want to be sensitive to individual consciences. I'm more sensitive, definitely, than my husband and my sons are. So, you know, there are some different good war films and things that they really enjoy, but I don't like them because I have a more tender spirit.
And that's how I am. And my father loved all these. He really loved them, and we inherited his movie collection because he's passed now. And, you know, the boys were thrilled about some of the movies they inherited. And I was like, you can have it. And it was so funny because, again, because we don't, we're giving you this list of all 30 doesn't mean go watch all of them tomorrow.
Absolutely
but even
not.
But some of the superhero movies, I think one of my sons wanted to watch something back to back. And, you know, like we started early on a Saturday night, got the popcorn and had pizza, and it was really fun because, you know, my kids are all older now, so it's nice to sit around with them. But the next morning I woke up and one of my boys said, Mom, didn't you sleep well? And I'm like, no, I was in the film. I was whatever character, you know, it's like I dreamed I was in the movie fighting and I had, you know, and I just said, I can't do this. I can't watch, you know, more than one in a sitting for sure anymore, because I just, like, you know, was part of the, and they of course thought that was just hysterical. It was kind of funny, but so
you still want to listen to that. Yeah, you don't want to spend sleepless nights because of
Oh my gosh. Okay, so we are almost at the end of our time. So what couple more do we want? Because again, the full list is on vintagehomeschoolmoms.com. Top films for families. You can get the whole list there, and then also links to Lisa's site on Facebook. A couple more,
Lisa. If you really like Jimmy Stewart, like we do from It's a Wonderful Life, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington is another that is one that you don't want to miss. It's really about government corruption and someone standing strong against that and doing right no matter what everyone else is doing. Very inspiring movie. And several of my friends, when I polled them, said, oh, Pride of the Yankees. And Pride of the Yankees is the story of Lou Gehrig in baseball. A little bit of a sad ending, but such a sweet story of a man who was just really humble and just his family life also. It was just a very, very good film. You don't want to miss that one. And then there are several based in science. There is Edison, the Man, and Madame Curie, and then there's several others if you're looking on Amazon that were done during that same time period. And those are a great one also to put on for science in the middle of the day. and learn really more about the person and the discovery and just their life and the era that they lived in during those discoveries.
Well, one of my son's favorites here is Jackie Robinson, to the point that during the year, his number always changes. He plays baseball, but for his travel team, he had the number 42. And so, he was allowed, you know, because it's harder to get different numbers other than whatever the team jerseys are that are made, you know. So for the travel, they asked him what number he wanted. So he was like, yay. And that was the number he picked. And it was funny because we would see other kids as we were traveling along that also had that number. So obviously, you know, had watched the film or read the book. And, yeah, really fun. And I just completed a podcast that was, you know, should you read the book first or watch the movie? Because there's so many different debates about that. And I was talking to my niece, and she said she's an attorney, but she reads a ton. And she said, oh, definitely read the book first because I'd never watched the movie. And I said, well, you know, I never read Lord of the Rings until I watched the movie and wanted to read, you know, read the books. And so it's so funny because there's such purists out there that were like, she loved The Hobbit, so she'll never see the movie because she heard it was an adaptation or it wasn't true to the book. So for some of these, like Little Women was one of the books or one of the movies you have on here. There are books. And I always say if it's a classic, read the book. And, you know, if it's not, then it's not necessarily something. Do you have any opinion either way on that?
Well, my opinion used to be that you should read the book first. And my kids actually didn't like some film adaptations because they had read the book first, especially Disney's Pollyanna. I love the movie. They read the book, and then they were very disappointed with the movie adaptation. However, I've had to change that opinion for my daughter with autism. Reading is very difficult for her. She is definitely a visual and story learner. So if we see the film first, she is much more desirous of then getting into the story because she then has a connection. And so because of that, she has seen Little Women and Anne of Green Gables and Swiss Family Robinson. Well, she goes and listens to the full unabridged versions on LibriVox and Audible of those stories over and over again, and even Heidi, where I know she could, you know, she couldn't have read the book on her own. And I have read a lot of those out loud to her, but it gives her a lot more interest level if she has seen what's going to happen in the story first and she's not fearful of it, or she's engaged enough to want to go and hear it. So I think it depends on the person and how they learn and, you know, maybe what their style is. So
I think it's great because I started out my podcast with that as well, saying, you know, I always said you had to read it first. But then again, you know, same exact things, you know, you're disappointed or, you know, they left something out. So, you know, it's difficult. And, you know, again, make your own determinations based on your family and do what's best for you. And Lisa, thank you so much for coming on. I know that.
Well, thank you for having me.
You know, you've done such great work, and I'm excited to share again your Facebook page for all of you who love movies. And if you're on Facebook, go to Inspire Rediscovering Classic Family Films, and you will truly be inspired with a lot of the legwork that Lisa and her family has done for all of us. And I really appreciate you. Thanks again.
Thank you, Felice.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.